people in a real world. And that's where we're at. Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 25, and then also verse number 31. You can stand real quick for the reading of the word. Genesis 32. And I want us to look at just one phrase in verse number 25. Jacob's thigh was out of joint. Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And in verse number 31, the latter part of that verse, he halted upon his thigh. He halted upon his thigh. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. Often this passage of Scripture has been preached to us, don't leave me the saying, I've got to have more than I've got. Declaration of desperation. Hold on for a blessing. We've all preached that. But I want to preach this morning with this thought in mind. When life leaves you with a limp. When life leaves you with a limp. In the story that is before us, I know Jacob was in a struggle and he needed more than he had. Often when we're in struggles of life, we've got to have more than we got to get through. And so he's in this struggle and he realizes I've got to have more than I have in order to get through this. And so he wrestles with that angel. And as a result, he gets a limp to go with his blessing. But often in life, not all struggles end with a limp and a blessing. But more times than not, we just end up with a limp. And his thigh was out of joint. And he halted upon his thigh. We're in a time that's where we're at with a lot of people. Due to the struggles of life, they end up with a limp. They end up with a limp. And so I had Brother Dickie. I had one at home and I meant to bring it with me. And I'm glad I'm not having to use this for real. But I had Brother Dickie. I said, have you got a cane? He said, yeah. He brought it to me this morning. And often when we see somebody with this, there's some type of disability that they've got. So they need a little help. Jacob, he had this limp. And I see so many people that they've got a limp. They've got a limp. And life, often due to what we face, will leave you with a limp. Struggles in life, hardships in life, disappointments in life. Things we don't understand. The whys in our life. The whys in our life. And often we're faced headlong and head first with it. And we're left with a limp. What do we do with that? Sometimes these limps are self-inflicted. We do it to ourselves. There's a lot of things, I don't know about you, but I've brought on myself. There's a lot of times I've got myself in situations that I knew I got myself there. I signed my name on a dotted line when I should have had no business. I knew I had the credit to get it. You know, a lot of people, they won't say, well, you pray that the Lord will work this loan out for me. You know if you got credit or not to get it. But there's been a few times I've signed my name to that dotted line and I got myself a limp. I thought it was a blessing, but come on here now. It ended up being a limp. I remember when we first got married, Chevrolet come out with a yellow Camaro. And I wanted one. And it's not so much that she wanted one. I wanted one. And what I thought was a blessing ended up to be a limit. And I was left with a limp. You know what I'm talking about? Often in life, there are things that are self-inflicted. I was praying this morning. I felt the Lord. It's one thing when these limps happen in our life and they're in private. They're in private and nobody knows about them but you and God. And that's not so humiliating. But what happens when that limp happens in public? Let me read to you this morning. I come across this, and if you'll just bear with me, we'll get to where we're going. I come across this morning, this young lady, she has MD. She said, when I look back on life this far, it's almost baffling how much of how I felt myself and the problems that I've had that can be linked to only one thing. That's my limp. Not that muscular dystrophy itself, but rather the symptom of it. It's not so much the disease, but it's just the symptom of it. And somebody's here this morning, and you're dealing with the symptoms of something far greater than just your limp. You're dealing with the symptoms of something. It's one thing when these limps are self-inflicted, but it's another thing when limps are inflicted by someone else. Zechariah, he said, and one shall say unto thee, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he said, with these I was wounded in the house of my preaching to somebody here this morning that you're dealing with a trust issue and it's caused a limp in your life. Huh? The Bible says in the book of Amos, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, and he got into the house and he leaned his hand on a wall and a serpent bit him. And I'm afraid a lot of times we got people that are coming in our house and come in our church. They're escaping the lion. They're escaping the bear. They're escaping the pressures of life. But when they come into the house and they lean their hand on the wall and they're trying to just barely survive, and all of a sudden a serpent bites them. Huh? And we are giving out limps instead of blessings. Come here now. This is a real world with real pain. We've got real issues that we're dealing with. Oh, God. We've got real issues that we're dealing with. It's easy for us to be so pious and so proper up here in this pulpit. But let me tell you something, preacher man. There's people that are sitting in these pews this morning that they're just barely going by. And life has left them with a limp. Come on now. Life has left them with some heartaches. Not everybody's life is perfect. Not everybody's got it. I mean, the sun don't always set on everybody's shoulders. Hey, there's some of you here this morning. You're facing life and you've got to limp because of it. Just get over it. Just get over it. I want to tell somebody here, there's some things that are not easily gotten over. And when you've been let down by somebody, and when you've been disappointed by somebody, it's hard to get beyond that. And so, we're dealing with issues because of this limp. I grew up with the self-inflicted idea that no one would ever love me because of this perceived defect that I had. I was convinced that no never saw anything but the limp when they saw me. Not everybody's marriage is perfect. All right, I'm gonna be me. But when we're dealing with a divorce rate, one out of every 1.5 homes ends up with divorce, we got a problem. And who are we to think that it's not going to affect our holiness churches? I know pastors that have asked people, what is your marital status? Are you in divorce? And if you are, you'd be better off going somewhere else. That is a tragedy. I'm not here to condone divorce, but I want to tell you, life does happen. Life does happen, but there are souls that are dying. There's still people, even though they've got to live. This young lady said, I had this perceived notion that only when people looked at me, the only thing that they saw was my lip. Listen, there's some people that are here this morning. You've got a stigma that you're trying to live above. But I want to tell you, there is life on the other side of the lip. There is life on the other side of why. Sure, I'd like to have everybody perfect. But I only know of one perfect man, and they crucified him. But we want them good Christians, don't we? Yeah, that's what we want. We want them good ones. We pull their credit rating. I'm sick of diagnostic preaching. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of going to meetings. And all I'm hearing is diagnostic preaching. I'm sick of people pointing out the cause. I'm sick going to meetings and hearing preachers that have an opportunity to help people, and they get up behind the pulpit and all they're doing is diagnosing and never providing a cure and never providing a solution. What you preach was exactly where 95% of a lot of our people, they're dealing with the wine. Now, you could have got up here this morning and you could say, I bless God, you just need to get over it. But I hate for your loss, my brother, but you, through your, I cannot call affliction sweet, yet 'twas good for me to bear. For affliction brought me to thy feet, and I have found comfort there. It was because of what you faced that you were able to minister to us this morning. You were able to talk to us this morning. You was able to pour your heart. That lets me know when I face that, when my daddy passes away, when my mama passes away, hey, there's life on the other side of the why. I want to tell somebody here this morning, hey, you may be facing a lip. You may just kind of got in here just barely this morning. But I want to tell you, there is life on the other side of why. You can live with a lip and go on. My God, my God, my God. Do you know there's actually 12 gifts of the Spirit? Do you know that? 12. But only 3 operate in our church. You say, you're preaching heresy, Brother Shannon. Just listen to me. There's 12 gifts of the Spirit, but only 3 operate in our church. And And I believe some people have all three of those gifts. It's a gift of criticism. The gift of criticism. Hear me now, Kane. Well, look at them. What have they done? What are they doing here? Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven? And he goes down through a long list. And then he takes up bony fingers. And such were some of you. Huh? But we use that gift of criticism. And then it's a gift of pessimism. They ain't never going to amount to nothing. You're wasting your time. I actually had a man to tell me just a few weeks ago about a young lady. Her life is in shambles. Her and her daughter started going to our church. And this guy had the audacity, made me want to... And pardon my expression, but I'm like Popeye the Sailor Man. I yam what I yam. Made me want to puke. He said, you're wasting your time with them. God help us. They just got to live. They're not lame. They just need a little help. Brother, you, they're just struggling just a little bit. Maybe they're not in 100%, but they're not totally out. Rescue the perishing. Save the dying. Come on, church. Oh, God, help us! And then that third gift is the gift of skepticism. Well, I want to tell you something, Pastor. We've always done it this way. And it won't work no other way. I heard Brother Joey Hite preach a wonderful message many years ago, all change is not bad. You ever heard him preach that? Phenomenal. Huh? Come here. Brother Tommy, our generation is different than your generation. How well you know.
Yes, it is.
But our generation.
Come on.
Come here, Kendrick.
To us.
Boy, I feel the Lord right here.
I did too.
He's going to want that $100. Our generation.
I'm telling you, brother.
He's got to reach this generation. And I'm going to tell you, that generation is a whole lot different than my generation. But this is a generation I've got to reach. They may be limping a little bit. They may be hurting a little bit. But am I going to leave them that way? Am I just going to point out their lip? Huh? But it's going to take old timers like you and Brother Don that tells me, Brother Shannon, and was it not you that laid in the floor of your house, God, how am I going to be able to reach this generation? Didn't I hear you say that, Brother Rich?
Tell me about
it. Yes, I got a burden for to do more. I said, God, I'm getting old. I'd like to win a few souls, but this generation with their dyed hairs or piercing and all of that is very, very disturbing to me. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you reach anyone now, you'll have to reach this generation. So that's what we're trying to do.
This generation. It's all we got. What are we going to do? Well, that guy's got a limp. That guy's got a limp. Do you know what they did to get that limp? This is my heart right here. There was a man that was laying in the ditch. The priest and the preacher walked by him. But it was that Samaritan, and I've preached this. This is Shannon McDonald right here. This is my heart. But it was that good Samaritan that took him like he was. Bound up his wounds. He poured in the oil and wine. Took him to the inn and said, you take care of him. There's calamities in people's life that we cannot change. I wish I could. I wish I could. But this generation, I want to head that off before they get to those calamities. That's why we've got to reach this generation. That's why we've got to do that. Hey, there is life. Come on here now. I want to preach to you this morning. You may be facing life with a limp, but there is life on the other side of that limp. All right. So, what happens when we are left with a limp? Who caused it? Why it happened? That's not the point. The point is, that's being diagnosed. His thigh was out of joint. He halted upon his thigh. Now, down south, we got people that walk this way in. It ain't a limp issue. I'm glad there's one town that passed law. If we catch you with your britches down, it's $25 fine. The next time it's a $400 fine. Wear you a belt. Saw my daddy work down there so long the smoke alarm went off. You hear me? He'd whoop me and he'd say, boy, don't you cry. I'm going to give you something for crying. Yeah. That's just me. So what do we do with a limp? We must readjust. Well, I can't walk the same. So I've got to readjust. I've got to have something to help me. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I've got to readjust. I know I got an issue, Lord. So I'm going to take thy word. I'm going to put it in my heart. So when life leaves you with a limp, just readjust just a little bit. How many times in David's life did he call to remembrance the word of God? In a night hour, get it in there. You can live with a limp. Come on now. You can live with a limp today. I want to tell you here, you're not lame. I mean, the enemy would like to tell you that you're washed up and you're washed out and you've got this emotional difficulty. We are redefined and we must readjust. I want to tell somebody here, hey, you can go on beside your limp and live on. Can you say amen this morning? You live past that suspiciousness. Often when people are hurt, They isolate themselves. They separate themselves. I'm going to tell you, not every preacher is out to bust your hide. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get myself in real trouble here. When he said, be ye holy, for even as I am holy. You think he was talking about what you was wearing? Or was he talking about your character and your conduct and your attitude and your actions? Now don't jump boat on me right here now. Modesty and morality go hand in hand. And where there's immodesty, there's going to be immorality. But where he is in the heart, he's going to be on the outside as well. But I want to tell you what, you got to catch that fish before you can skin that thing. And we're dealing with sheep here. And you can't skin no sheep. You can shear them, but you can't skin them. Oh, I done got myself in it. Life. So we must readjust. We're redefined. Oh, yeah. Everybody knows us now. Is that, man, that's that guy that's got that limp. But what must I do? I just must resume. Life goes on. I must go on. Not everybody is going to pat you on the back. Oh, you're doing a wonderful job. I am so thrilled to see this couple in church. He said, you'd be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and for you to be cast in the sea. Brother Don Rich, I've heard you preach it tight. I had to follow you after you went up there and liberated them people. There it. You know what I'm talking about. What did the little chick say? Huh? But in all the years of you preaching holiness, I've never heard you do it with a hard spirit. Never! Oh, my goodness. But every bit that he's preached, he stayed right in the book. We're facing people with a limp. We're facing people that's got issues. I can take this cane. Oh, I can help them with it. Huh? And we use the very thing. We use the very thing that could help them through their struggle. The very thing that could pull them out of what they're going through. Come on now. We use the very thing that could get them to the other side of what they're going through. And we beat them with it. And we inflict more pain and more hurt. The very thing that could bring the solution. The very thing. Now, I guess, I'm assuming, those of you that have used these things, sometimes it's you've got pain. Is that correct? And this will help to ease. Huh? All I can do is present it to you.
Yeah.
What you do with it is up to you.
That's right.
It's the solution
right.
to all of the problems of life. The answer is Christ. You mean you want me to deal with that family, Lord? I'll tell you what I'd like to do. It can't be like that, Brother Jack Eubanks. Anybody know Jack Eubanks? Jack Eubanks was a Mississippi Highway Patrolman that led my dad to the Lord. You know Brother Jack? He was a racist, bottom line. This was in the 60s. He was a racist. He got saved at a little old Assembly of God church. My dad was a policeman in the late 60s. And Jack Eubanks was a highway patrolman in Mississippi. My dad got saved. Jack Eubanks got saved. And my dad said, if God can save Jack Eubanks, he can save anybody. 3 weeks later, and I'm going to get back to my story. 3 weeks later, Jack Eubanks invited my dad to church. And my dad just finally, out of harassment, he said, I'm going to church. Brother Kenny Morris, and you know Brother Kenny Morris, is a 19-year-old Assembly of God pastor. On Wednesday night, my dad got saved some 44 years ago. But Jack Eubanks, God got to dealing with his heart. The very people he hated, God called him to pastor a church to that bunch. Sure did. And he loved them. And he pastored them for years. But Jack Eubanks in dealing with people, and I said all that to say this. My age is starting to tell on me. Jack Eubanks, there was a drunk in town. And I'll tell you, wait, this is the way we deal with a lot of people. Jack Eubanks, there was a drunk in town. And Jack would arrest him and take him to jail. No sooner than he got out of jail, the guy would go back home. He'd beat his wife. And then Jack would have to pick him up all over again, lock him back up. And so, one day, the guy had done it again, and he was up in town, and Jack arrested him again. But this time, they didn't go to jail. Jack took him. Now, you couldn't do this today by no means. Mm-mm. And I support our law enforcement. They are protecting some of the rights that you and I have right now. But Jack took him out in the country and handcuffed him to a tree. His arms around the tree. Now this is, like I said, you couldn't do this today. Jack pulled that man's breeches down to where his backside was bare. And he told him, said, I'm tired of arresting you. This is going to stop. The way you are doing is going to stop. And he took his belt and commenced to working on that guy. Needless to say, Jack Eubanks never had to pick that man up for public intoxication again. Well, sometimes rough treatment will work. But sometimes it won't. But I can present this. You got a limp. What are you going to do? You can resume and go on. He passed on. left there with a limp, but he got to the other side. And those promises that was gave to his dad and his granddad, because he learned to live with a limp. And I want to tell somebody here this morning, in this simple preaching, that just because you've got a mark on your life does not mean it's the end of your life. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King, and His royal blood. Come on here now. I want to tell you, you can live life with a limp if you want to. You're not an invalid. You're not an invalid this morning. I don't have much respect for a man that says I've been in a fight and there ain't no scar to prove it. Huh? What'd you fight, a pillowcase? I'm about done. There was these two mean boys. They decided to jump me. And they had a sister that dipped snuff. She was bad to the bone. I was about 10 and she was 12. And she dipped snuff. That girl was bad news. Well, she sicked her little brothers on me. And then she jumped on me. And it was so wonderful that my twin brother, Shad, come to my rescue. Huh? But I'm going to tell you what, we left there with some scratches on us. Huh? And often in life, it's because of what we face. I like what one man said, never trust a teacher who does not walk with a limp. Huh? Let's stand all over this house. I've preached in my heart this morning. When life leaves you with a limp. Father, we thank you for this wonderful spirit that we felt. Thank you how you've ministered to us. We thank you for it today, Lord. God, our brother preached so wonderful to us, God, about your word and how you've helped. God, help us. Let's bow our heads right now, all eyes closed. You say, preacher, I've faced some of those limps in my life. Can I see your hand? I've faced some of those limps in my life. I'm struggling with some of those limps in my life. I'm struggling with trusting the Lord. I need God to help me. We got time to come to the altar again. Let's come in this altar again. Let's come in this altar again. Somebody come with a song. You say, Brother Shannon, I'm dealing with that limp, but I want to learn to live with it. He told Paul, he said, Paul begged him 3 times, I'd like to take this thorn in my flesh away. I'd like for you to remove this. But finally God said, you got to live with it. And sometimes we got to live with a limp. But you know it's a wonderful word? Live. Live. That means life. That means there's life on the other side of the limp. Let's come in this altar this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord.